Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you as well. The text for the sermon is the second lesson, especially something from verse 11, something from verse 12. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" Well, what does this mean? And another verse, a part of a verse from Paul, where he says, "I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 in a tongue." So let me check this out, okay? See whether this does anything for you. John 3:16. Houtos gar agape sen ha theos ton kosmon hosta ton huion ton monogene edoken hina pas hopestoion eis auton me apoletai al echezoen ionin. Does that do anything for you? Not really? Maybe a more modern language. Romans 3:28. So halten wird es nun, dass der Mensch gerecht werde ohne des Gesetzes Werke allein durch den Glauben. That do anything for you either? Not really. Okay. How about this one? Jesus Christ is the Savior. That was five words. Paul's point made, right? And Paul, who also says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And that's why it is so incredibly important what was going on in Acts chapter 2. You see, after the listing of all those languages, by the way, when you first become a pastor, you're going, Pamphylia, Parthians, Pontus, aye. After the listing of all those languages, Luke tells how the people say, we hear them telling in our own tongues. Different translation, we hear them declaring in our own language. What they were telling, what they were declaring, is the one thing that brings all the human languages together. That's why such a list of tongues. Because it is the word of God spoken down deep into the heart. And only when we are brought together by that word of God teaching the same thing in so many languages, and so bringing the languages together in one teaching, see how that works? Bringing the languages together in one teaching, only then can we be made one. Around the word and all around the world and between nations and in our cities and between our different cultures, and what they were telling is Jesus Christ, by whose blood we are redeemed. And what they were telling is Jesus Christ bearing the sins, the rebellion, the hatred, and the violence of the whole human race and atoning for us. Yeah, it was just this week's Bible study. Little comment. Some parts of the law are disturbing because the human race is disturbing. Yeah. And what they were telling is Jesus Christ, who has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility and reconciled us and brought us back to God and given us eternal life. But all of those languages, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, and on, all those languages, it is what the modern expression is all about when it says the heart language. The Word of God has to be spoken into the heart language. And this is the miracle of Pentecost. That God begins to call from the Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Pontus and on and on and on. And those from Greece and Rome and Germany, France and Spain and the United States, and the different tribes scattered through the whole world in Africa and Asia, calling in the heart language, telling in our own tongues. You see, God cares about us enough that he tells us the gospel in our language. You do not have to know Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic or any other particular language to know the Word of God and the gospel message of salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's what we should have expected. After all, how did God create the world? He created the world by speaking. How did God bless Adam and Eve? He blessed them by speaking. And Adam and Eve begin then to speak to God. This is what we are. Deep inside the soul, what else is there than language and words and ideas and communication? And that's designed to be, first off, communication between God and man. So that one of the most remarkable things about the Christian faith is, and I got the opportunity to test this out one day in South Africa, that you can have people of as widely divergent background as you can possibly imagine. And on that day, we sat down and we had an hour or two to spend together and nothing much to do. And so we talked about how we grew to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the fascinating thing. Thousands of languages and Christians coming from those thousands of languages, when we begin to talk about Jesus, we realize this is the same Jesus we're talking about. He is very distinctly who he is. And how do you do that? How do you translate a message into a couple thousand languages and have it in each of those languages point to the same person, recognizably the same person? So that I have fellowship very easily with a Christian from the furthest culture from my own, who takes the Bible and the Christian faith seriously, and we realize that we know the same Jesus. It's because God speaks in the language of the soul. If you go just from the surface and the words on the paper, that's one thing. But dig a bit deeper and ask the question, what is God's language? It is the language of the soul, the language of the heart, where deep down inside God speaks to you and calls you to know Jesus Christ, calls you to hear the message of salvation, and in hearing that message of salvation, he connects you with himself. That's going right to the Old Testament lesson, Ezekiel 36. I will remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will give you a new heart and put my spirit within you, God says. And we find out that that's exactly where he is working, down deeper than any even conscious thought. Very specific words, ideas, thoughts that vary from person to person, and God is able to speak right into the heart and take us from our own backgrounds and from our own life experiences and bring his gospel to bear. For some time now, I've been fascinated with asking somebody that came to faith, and exactly what part of Scripture was it that grabbed a hold of you? And the answers are all over the place in the Bible. But with every answer comes, and that verse from Scripture made me look at myself and at God and at Jesus Christ. And then there is faith. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, taking the words about Jesus and the words from Jesus and speaking those words into the heart. So we are taken hold of by God. And he grabs us and brings us into eternal life, called by the gospel, down deep in the heart, all my inmost being. Enlightens us as he opens up and unfolds the words of the Bible to us so that we grow in understanding, who is this God who has called me? Who put his hand on me, decided to make me his own, marked me as one of his own friend, his own sheep. And the Holy Spirit gathers us together into this thing called church. And we come together and we do something that is called our confession of faith, where we speak together the knowledge that we have, what we know about Jesus Christ, and we are united in that. And as God does that, like he did with the apostles so many years ago, gathering us together to speak the same message, they got to speak suddenly in new languages that the Holy Spirit gave them instant knowledge of. We go out from the church and we have different people we meet. And the situations are as many and varied as you can imagine. And the call from God is the same. But he has decided to work with us and work through us. It's an example of a quote from Luther. it pleased God not to give the Spirit without the Word, but through the Word, so that he might have us as his co-workers. What? Co-workers who proclaim without what he himself works within. That's an amazing thing. And this is what the Holy Spirit does and how he leads us day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.